From WAMC in Albany, this is the Legislative Gazette, a weekly magazine about New York State government and politics. Your host is David Gustina, with political commentary by Dr. Alan Shartok, political scientist and professor emeritus at the University at Albany. Statewide distribution for the Legislative Gazette is made possible by New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.
I'm Jim Lavoulis in for David Gustina. Coming up this week, New York Governor Andrew Cuomo touts his proposed budget during a visit to the Hudson Valley. Our political observer Alan Shartok shares his thoughts on the Democrats' re-election chances this year. And we'll hear from two Democrats looking to unseat Northern New York Congresswoman Elise Stefanik. Those stories and more on the Legislative Gazette. Democrats are responding to comments made by Republican New York Congresswoman Claudia Tenney in the wake of the recent Florida high school shooting. Appearing on Talk 1300 radio in Albany, Tenney, who represents the Utica-Rome area, responded to a question about inner-city violence and why Democrats in Congress and the media don't call for tougher mandatory terms for such urban crimes.
Obviously, there's a lot of politics in it, it's interesting that so many of these people that commit the mass murders end up being Democrats, but the media doesn't talk about that either.
Democratic State Assemblyman Anthony Brindisi, a candidate for Tenney's House seat, said her comments were toxic rhetoric, and the Democratic Congressional Campaign said Tenney's comments were unhinged, shameful, and disgusting. Tenney later issued a statement saying she will continue to stand up for law-abiding citizens who are smeared by anti-gun liberal elitists. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo was at Marist College in Poughkeepsie Thursday, touting his proposed budget with highlights in the Hudson Valley. The Legislative Gazette's Allison Dunn has more.
Cuomo spoke about a number of budget items, from fighting the federal tax law to advancing the women's agenda.
We start with education, and then topical issues, fighting sexual harassment, the environment, a democracy agenda, criminal justice reform. I want to talk to you about the federal tax increase and the effect on New York. And then how do you grow the economy? Because the economy is the engine that pulls the train.
And he spoke to specific initiatives in the Hudson Valley, from modernizing Stewart Airport in Orange County to a $150 million Woodbury Transit Hub, also in Orange.
We're putting a Metro North station at Woodbury Commons, so you don't have to drive, you can take the train.
The Democrat announced two new developments in the food and beverage industry in the Hudson Valley.
We're going to be funding a joint venture between the CIA and a sake manufacturing company, creating 32 new jobs, but more importantly, great sake. Can you imagine? Culinary Institute of America sake. That's going to be special. We have an Indian food manufacturing company that's coming in with 150 new jobs.
The latter is a planned expansion of the New Windsor-based Cafe Spice food manufacturing facility across the river in Beacon, where Mayor Randy Casale says he looks forward to welcoming them.
We've been working with Cafe Spice for some time now in the Dutchess County IDA with Ron Hicks and them. Hopefully, we're looking forward to that move for them to come. Things have to be worked out, but it's going to bring jobs to Beacon. It's going to bring a good business company, a good business model, and we're looking forward to having them in Beacon. And in the near future, we'll be making more announcements about it.
And as Cuomo mentioned, his budget supports a $28 million sake brewery at the CIA in Hyde Park. He says the partnership between the CIA and Asahi Shuzo International would establish New York's largest sake brewery and first sake brewery in the Hudson Valley. Construction would begin this spring with a scheduled opening in early 2019. Republican Dutchess County Executive Mark Molinaro, who is reconsidering his decision not to run for governor, says Dutchess had been working for some time to attract the sake maker and Cafe Spice. Molinaro says the governor's portrayal of New York's state of affairs, however, was missing information.
I think average New Yorkers understand that our economy is still sluggish, that taxes are still too high, and that this state overall is adrift and broken in many ways. And I'd like to hear more about that. I'd like our state leaders, I'd like the governor and anyone else to talk seriously about the fact that we have a broken government. Too often, I think, makes decisions from the top.
Molinaro says the cost of living and doing business in the state need to be reduced. Democratic Mount Vernon Mayor Richard Thomas commends the governor's budgetary agenda.
The governor has a vision to make sure New York makes more business sense. And leveling the playing field in terms of a new tax system is the right direction to go.
Cuomo says his budget continues a middle-class tax cut and takes action to protect New Yorkers from the impacts of what he calls a federal tax assault, and advances efforts to improve New York's business climate and fairness of the tax system. In 2017, Cuomo announced an $8 million investment to build a gondola at Bel Air Ski Resort. The gondola recently opened, and Cuomo says the proposed budget includes an additional $10 million in new capital funding for upgrades to Bel Air. Reporting for WAMC News, I'm Hudson Valley Bureau Chief Allison Dunn at Marist College in Poughkeepsie.
The field of candidates lining up to challenge second-term Republican Congresswoman Elise Stefanik of New York's 21st District continues to change. In January, Dr. David Mastriani joined the Democratic field. The oncologist recently retired from clinical work and is now a part-time senior vice president of the Saratoga Hospital Medical Group. Mastriani tells the Legislative Gazette's Pat Bradley that he believes the region faces a crossroads.
I was raised in Saratoga. I went to Albany Med, married my wife, Lucille, as a nurse practitioner, and we came back to this area to set up our own oncology practice and to raise our children. And so we practiced for many years in the Saratoga area and also in Saranac Lake. I recently finished my full-time career, and I've become convinced that this region is at a critical point where we have the opportunity to take several of the key issues that are affecting us, particularly healthcare, but also our whole economic situation, and really rebuild it. I think it's a time for the region to be unified. I think we can do it, and I think we can make a real constructive difference.
Well, let's take a look at a couple of those issues. You mentioned healthcare, and obviously that's what your background is in, but what are the key issues of concern and how do you plan to approach them?
So let's start with healthcare. Much of the expertise and energy comes from big city type of healthcare, and we're very different. In many of our communities, the hospitals are real economic drivers, and they really act as anchors in our community. They're financial anchors, but they're also intellectual anchors. They may even do things like bring broadband in for us. So I think healthcare is very important. The cost of serious illnesses, it's too much. Uninsured patients break the back of our hospitals. If we can insure everybody, the Medicaid burden will be markedly reduced. And it's Medicaid that really is consuming all of the taxes we pay locally. This is a real burden on our local communities. So I think health care reform, getting everybody insured, is really a key. It's a real economic recovery act for our region. My specific proposal is very simple. Let's allow Medicare to negotiate with drug companies, and then let's expand it across all ages. The other issues that we've been talking about include infrastructure, and I think the broadband's a great example. You cannot attract young people to these communities without broadband. Switch to agriculture, where we're really talking about a community around here that has smaller than average farms, and we grow a diverse variety of crops. Yet on a national level, we have a policy that really supports large farms. Part of this is just having people in Washington who know what it's like to live in small town and rural communities.
David Mastriani, as you well know, there's a lot of other folks running in the primary, and you have to first win the primary before you would face off against the incumbent. What do you think sets you apart from the other candidates, the other Democratic candidates in the primary?
Whoever is the ultimate nominee from our party. If it's not me, I would certainly support them. I think the advantage I have and the thing that gave me the interest to do this is I've worked here for decades. I've taken care of thousands of patients and their families. I hope they'll remember me fondly and think that, you know, this guy could maybe help us in Washington too.
Your campaign is fairly new. What so far do you perceive as the biggest challenge?
Well, there's a couple of challenges. One is that to get onto the ballot, you have to collect your petitions. And that requires a certain amount of technical knowledge and organization to do that. So you really have to be prepared to do that. So I think that's just a fundamental challenge. That's not unique to me. It's across the board with everyone. The other challenge, which is unique to me and some of the other candidates, although not all, is many of us don't have a lot of experience in politics. We have a lot of life experience. Taking all that life experience and then actually answering a political question, that takes a little time. It is a learning curve, but I would encourage more people out there who have had success in their life in some other endeavor to consider doing this.
During a visit to Plattsburgh in August, second-term Republican Elise Stefanik said regardless of the number of challengers, she is focused on her job and delivering results to the district.
I feel confident, but I'm going to focus on doing my job because that's why they voted for me, because they know I'm energetic, I'm hardworking, and I'm common sense and independent-minded and an effective voice for this district in Washington.
Author, entrepreneur, and former cable news host Dylan Radigan formally announced his campaign for Stefanik's seat Wednesday in Saranac Lake. News of his interest in the seat was first reported by WAMC. He tells the Legislative Gazette's Pat Bradley he decided to run because he believes there is a huge opportunity to improve the quality of leadership in the country and the representation in the district.
The obvious issue with this district and most districts in America is the lack of investment and resources in the communities to support the businesses, hospitals, schools, and industry that exists in my specific district. You're looking at things like dairy farming, high-performance transportation auto parts, tourism most obviously. All of those assets are lacking in a consistent flow of investment into their greatest potential. The unemployment rate in New York 21 is 2 times the national average. That is unacceptable. Unlike anybody else in this race, based on my deep family history going back to the 1700s, born in Saranac Lake, raised in Saranac Lake, combined with my expertise in communications and in finance, I believe I, unlike any other candidate that's running in the primary or the incumbent, can bring a level of awareness and investment and possibility into the district that simply is not available with any other candidate.
Dylan Radigan, Representative Stefanik will say she is bringing jobs and things back to the North Country. So what specifically do you disagree with Ms. Stefanik about?
I don't have an issue with Representative Stefanik. I have an issue with the lack of opportunity in the district that exists to this day. The fact that children from the district like myself are forced to leave in search of opportunity, which creates distress in my family and in a lot of other families like mine, is no longer acceptable. And I believe that the ability to change that reality is available to us, and I believe that I can do it.
Mr. Radigan, that kind of touches on another issue. In the past, both Democrats Aaron Wolf and Mike Derrick had left the area to find jobs and basically make their way in the world. They maintained ties in the area, and they came back and they ran for Congress. But a lot of voters said they were carpetbaggers. They just came back to run for Congress. Are you concerned that you might be viewed the same way?
No, I think it's a logical attack superficially, but I think once you understand that I was born and raised in Saranac Lake, that I am a graduate of Saranac Lake High School, that my original ancestors came to the district in the mid-1700s, that my family has a history in my Uncle Bert ran the Studebaker dealership in Plattsburgh. My Uncle Pat is one of the local priests. Both of my parents have worked in community health and in public health their entire careers. And I moved back here 5 years ago after resigning in protest to the corruption of the political system on MSNBC because my values are much more from Saranac Lake than they are from cable television.
Also along those lines, during your TV career, you railed a lot about money and politics. Now you have to face the reality of having to deal with money in politics. How are you going to rectify the reality of financing your campaign with that ideology?
I'm probably the only person who actually has resigned two multi-million dollar jobs based in moral protest to the corruption that was in front of me. And so if there's anybody that is capable of crowdsourcing money in a way that broadens the base of support from the super rich and has a history of maintaining my integrity in the face of money and power, I would say that I'm as good or better than anybody that's ever run.
Other than your name recognition, because that's probably right now an advantage over all of the other primary challengers, what do you think sets you apart from the other Democrats in the race?
I know what sets me apart from my challengers and the incumbents is my unique understanding of the district based on my family roots, combined with my demonstrated capacity to navigate the halls of money and power and communication on the largest level. And I intend to marry my capacity to navigate money, power, and communication with my deep district knowledge to bring resources and awareness to the district on a level that's simply not possible with any other candidate, including the incumbent.
Incumbent Republican Elise Stefanik's campaign spokesperson, Lenny Alcivar, released a statement via email on Rattigan's decision to run. Quote, having yet another candidate enter an already crowded and anemic field is bad news for the rudderless Democratic Party. His fellow candidates must be frustrated that local and national party leaders encouraged a television personality to diminish their months of campaigning with this 11th-hour attempt to leapfrog over them. We welcome him to the race and look forward to continue sharing Congresswoman Stefanik's strong record of bipartisan results on behalf of North Country families and small businesses, unquote. Rattigan joins Democrats David Mastriani of Scroon Lake, Emily Martz of Saranac Lake, Don Boyajian of Saratoga County, Ronald Kim of Queensbury and Saratoga Springs, Tedra Cobb of Potsdam, Katie Wilson of Keene, Patrick Nelson of Stillwater, Sarah Eidelman of Greenwich, and Tanya Boone from Granville in a primary. Republican Russell Finley of Lisbon in St. Lawrence County is also running. I'm Pat Bradley, WAMC News.
Tanya Boone and Sarah Eidelman withdrew from the race Thursday. Congresswoman Elise Stefanik has a standing invitation to appear on WAMC News and its Congressional Corner series. You're listening to the Legislative Gazette, a program about New York State government and politics. I'm Jim Lavoulis in for David Gustina. We're joined now by the Legislative Gazette's political observer, Alan Shartok. Alan, how are you doing?
Well, we're fine. The legislature isn't so good. They're not distinguishing themselves in any real way. And they have an awful lot to account for. To me, there ought to be an ethics package that comes out of this legislature, and I don't see it coming. There ought to be, in my mind, term limits. That's never going to happen with these people. In my state of Massachusetts, anything can happen because you can put anything on the ballot, and voters get a chance to vote for it. But in New York State, believe me, they elect leaders like Flanagan and like Hasty, who used to be the boss of the Bronx, is now the boss of the legislature, and they're put in there to protect them and to make these sinecures, they call jobs, theirs forever. So to me, there is a great deal of work to be done. Anybody who does the right thing will have a statue put up for them, but in the meantime, the job is the thing and keeping it is the thing. And we'll have to see what happens. You know, one of the things I'm looking at is the way in which we are dealing with the gerrymander. It looks like the Supreme Court of the United States may come along and say, no, there are real limitations on this. I'll tell you why. When you look at a democracy, you don't say that Flanagan and Hasty can walk up to the great computers and say, draw me districts where we can't lose. Look, New York is a blue, blue, blue state. And yet, the Republicans maintain their control over the state Senate. Hey, one and one makes two. They're drawing districts that look like snakes and handbags and alligators. Anything they can do to maximize their chances of winning. It's disgusting, and it really ought not to be done. And how are we going to tell our kids that in a democracy where we allegedly send our kids to other places to fight for democracy, we have the most undemocratic system in that these guys loathe the game?
And in other state news, the federal corruption trial of New York Governor Andrew Cuomo's former top aide continues in Manhattan. Joseph Percoco is facing bribery charges. On WAMC's Capital Connection, Alan, you spoke with the head of New York's Republican Party, Ed Cox, who says the trial is hurting the governor's reelection chances this year. Alan, do you agree?
Well, we do know that his popularity has been taking a precipitous drop. Right now, he still remains over 50%, although there is a difference between general popularity and popularity or job approval. And Ed Cox, who is the chairman of the Republican Party and a very bright guy, is going for broke. And he is saying at the top of his lungs, this is the most corrupt governor who has ever been in office. That's quite a statement. That if the word gets out, it might make a difference. However, there are a couple of things. One, they don't have a candidate. The Republicans don't have a strong candidate. Senator DeFrancisco, who's a good guy, but who's a very conservative guy and who supports some of the Trump agenda, is not the guy who's going to win in this anti-Trump year in blue state New York. There is talk now that Mark Molinaro, the very popular young county executive, might in fact run, which would give them a better chance. He's more in the Pataki image of a sort of more moderate Republican who could win and create a serious alternative to the governor. But the governor has $30 million that we know about in the bank now for this campaign. You're not going to be able to turn on a television or hear a radio commercial on a commercial station, which isn't how wonderful Governor Cuomo is and what he's been able to do. And it's an anti-Trump year. It's very hard to believe that the Republicans are going to come up with anybody who can get over all of that.
And former Erie County Executive Joel Giambra is also among the mix of the Republicans in that race. Governor Cuomo has joined his peers from Connecticut, New Jersey, and Rhode Island to announce a coalition called States for Gun Safety. The states plan to create a cross-state task force to trace and intercept illegal guns, share intelligence, and pursue a regional gun violence research effort.
Well, you notice they're all Democrats, which is great from their perspective. They are doing what they have to do in order to counter this president and what he's been and his inaction in terms of solving gun control. Now, the president himself is at war with many of the people who think that a great deal has to be done. He is now, however, understanding how angry the American people are, and he's coming up with a series of programs, including one that is rejected by the teachers, which would arm them and pay them a little bit more, and of course help the gun industry, because so many guns would be needed to arm all of those teachers who don't want it in the first place. It is an amazing time in America. I think something's going to get done on guns, and that the president, seeing the huge opposition to inaction, is going to do something finally.
The Legislative Gazette's political observer, Alan Chartok. Alan, thank you.
Thank you so much. We'll be talking to you soon.
And that about does it for this week's show. We had help from the New York State Public Radio Network. Copies are available by calling 1-800-323-9262. That number is 1-800-323-9262. Ask for program number 1808 or just listen to WAMC.org. And join us again next week at the same time for more news on New York State government and politics. For the Legislative Gazette, I'm Jim Lavoulis, in for David Gastina.
Statewide distribution for the Legislative Gazette is made possible by New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.